Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, October the 28th of 2019. Can't believe it's almost November. I really can't. I mean, it almost seems to me like fall might almost be going by quicker than summer. Maybe not quite, but almost. It is going by really quick. It really is. I don't know why it is, but I know that it is. But where did this year go? Where did it go, Caitlin?
I'm not sure.
Because a month from today is Thanksgiving.
A month?
Yeah, I mean, literally, it's like, I feel like the older I get, the more it just goes by that much quicker. Mm-hmm. They say it'll happen as you get older. I figured that would be more like when I was like, I don't know, 60, maybe 50. Seems like every year goes by quicker the older you get, starting with even when you're little, I think. Even though, yeah, it's one of those. You know, as you grow up more, and then you become an adult, and then as you become slowly an older adult, and so on and so forth. The older you get, seems to be the faster time goes by. But that said, so glad you could be with us, wherever you may be, however you may be joining us. It's always great when you tune in, because I know God has a word for you. I know He does. And my prayer is that you'll be able to receive something from Him when the time comes. I got some house stuff I want to do first, some icebreaker stuff. You know, and that, and then we got some stuff that we do after that. But the centerpiece of the show is our time in the Word, and the time that I spend talking to you about the Word of God and talking to you about faith, because the name of the show is The Miracle Man, and we believe in miracles here. Miracles from God. That's the purpose of the show. And we'll believe in God to change the world through faith and radio. That's our goal. And I don't know, listeners, if you think we're doing it or not, but we're doing it. We're doing our best, the best that we know how to do, by God. And it's just amazing. Now, I had the privilege this weekend of getting to go to a Krispy Kreme down there in the Detroit area, in Madison Heights, actually, 14-mile John R., just east of I-75 in Troy, Madison Heights, right there on that border. Some GPS-type stuff, and that'll say it's Troy. Other stuff will say it's Madison Heights. in my mind, I don't know if it's Troy Heights, whether to call it Troy Heights or just Madison or Madison Troy or what, because it's right there on that border. Could be either one of them, kind of like near 75 and 696, where you got Royal Oak and Madison Heights. Is it Madison Oak? Or is it Royal Heights? I don't know what it is, but needless to say, I got to go to Krispy Kreme, and they had warm donuts right off the belt. That's the first time I had actually been in a Krispy Kreme when donuts had just came off the belt recently. And I got three different donuts. One of them I got was the classic glaze. And I will say of just a plain old classic donut, by classic, I mean it's not chocolate, it's not, you know, peanut butter or fruit filled or anything like that, just a classic glazed donut. Of the classic glazed, I think that's the best donut I've had. Excluding all flavored ones and stuff like that. Because they get their own category. But it was delicious. My cousin, who we were with, said she could taste some of the grease in her mouth. I said I could taste some of the heavenliness in my mouth. Have you had a Krispy Kreme that was right off the belt? You have?
Yeah.
How many minutes? How many minutes? Was it like almost stifling? Is that how hot it was?
Yeah.
What I had had been like, probably had been like 15, 20 minutes or something.
Oh, that's still not bad. It's still really fresh.
I wish there was a way to know when the light was on. I tell you, if I lived right next to a Krispy Kreme, I would make sure I knew right when the light was on. Because that would be the only time I would go in there, would be if I knew the light was on. Because so that I could get, like, the freshest, hottest donuts. There's a place down there near, in a suburb called Utica, which is a bit more to the northeast of where I was at. Basically due north of where I was at, actually, I would say. And they have they have all different kinds of flavored donuts, but they make all of their donuts like as you order them. So they're like made to your order. And one of the flavors that they have is peanut butter. It's called Daddy's Donuts. I haven't been there in a year. I need to pay him a visit. But they are good donuts. Some of the best ones I've had. I didn't say the best. I've had a lot of good donuts from a lot of different places. Coppin' Donuts in Clare, you know, some in other states. What is it called?
Long Bakery. It's on the west side.
Is it near 65 or 69? Before 65?
It's on 10th Street.
Okay.
All the way down.
Is it near one of the freeways?
No.
There's no freeways out there?
There is, but it's not by it.
What freeway's out there? 465?
Yeah.
But it is 465 out there? Or?
Yeah, it's 465.
Is there a 469 too, or no?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
I just know there's a lot of different ones out there in Indianapolis, because I've been through there before, listeners, like when I was from Midland, like when I was going to Nashville or something. Now from where my parents live, because when I go out of state, like it's so fun. Because of where I generally go with them, which is more south, now I'm less apt to go through Indiana. And instead, I'm rooted through that state to the south, that we don't necessarily name during football season. At least I try not to, but I let it slip last week. Remember?
I tried
not to say what it was, but we let it slip. And I know I love it, but not every one of you listening would agree with me. So I decided to just keep it quiet. Speaking of which, how did Michigan do and stuff? We'll get to that later. And Michigan fans, I think you will like what I have to say. So be on the lookout for that when that time comes. Also, let me think here. What else was I going to say? Oh. You know, there's songs in the church that might have become staples that we might have started to sing like in the last, you know, 20, 30 years, 35 years, maybe 40. Like, Lord, I lift your name on high, some stuff like that. There's other songs that are very old, like that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. And then there's these ones that are called hymns. And they've been along for a very long time. And I'm going to sing you one in a little bit. That, you know, and it's very important that the body of Christ not forget the hymns. And I will say, if you're a worship leader in your church, and you're listening to this program, at least every so often, do a hymn or a couple hymns here and there. Maybe if you have a Sunday night service, maybe once in a while during one of them you sing a hymn or two or three. Just every so often, because the church ought not forget these hymns. And you know, it's really important that we know about the believers who came before us. And tonight, I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings 17, where it talks about Elijah and the ravens that were used to fed him. You know, because he needed food, but there was famine because there wasn't rain. And so, yes, we read a lot about Jesus and stuff like that, but we also, it's cool, it's great to read about those who came prior to Jesus even. That's why we have the Old Testament. Even though we're in, and you may say, well, we're not under the Old Covenant anymore. Well, it's good to have the Old Covenant as reference, because you got to know what came before you. You know, and so that's why we have the Old Testament. And why would I talk about the Old Testament and never read from it? Because I like showing evidence. So that's what I'm going to do. Other plans for tonight is that I'm going to talk about what happened in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And then we are going to move into sports. I have World Series to talk about. How's that been going? Taco Bell has a promotion regarding the World Series that I will talk about. And then I got football to talk about. How did the Midland-Dow High game go? What about Michigan? What about Michigan State? What did the Lions do? And some other NFL notes. And that'll all be coming your way at sports time. And of course, Football Central during the fall is always brought to you by the amazing Pumpkin Pie Blizzard at Dairy Queen. If you haven't got a Pumpkin Pie Blizzard, go get one, because you're missing out. Have you had a Pumpkin Pie Blizzard before?
Me?
Yes.
No, but it sounds good.
Oh, yes.
Have you had one?
Oh, yeah. They're really good. I love them. Love those things. They're the best. They're some of the best.
I love pumpkin pie.
Me too. Some of the best. That's one of the good parts of fall, of other than football, is everything being pumpkin. It helps take a bite out of the negativity of everything falling down. And on the bright side, when you get to fall, you realize that it's only a matter of months before you start seeing all that Christmas stuff up. Yep, we won them all last weekend down in the Detroit area right next to Krispy Kreme, and they had a Christmas tree up already. And normally in October, I'd be like, too early, but since it was the 26th and there's only 5 more days left in the month, I was like, and I was thinking, you know, I'm starting to feel it. And so, even though I might not really get into it until November gets here, it's like, it's not worth saying it's too early anymore. Maybe the music, maybe, but the other stuff, it's not worth saying it's too early anymore, like at the stores, is it? Like, come Friday, I'll be feeling it. Probably November 8th, because we have a bit less time this year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because of when Thanksgiving is in the month, with it being on the 28th. And as we get closer to the holidays, before Thanksgiving, I'm going to take either one or two shows and talk about being thankful. Like when we study the word, I'm going to talk about being thankful and tell the story about the first Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving week, that's what we'll be focusing on. And then the approximately 2 weeks leading up to Christmas, we will be reading in the Bible about the birth of Jesus and why do we need a Savior. I mean, what are the reasons for Christmas? No, it's not for buying gifts. I know. My mother, if you're listening to me, one of the reasons for Christmas, at least the ones I'm going to teach you on, is not to buy me presents. I just thought I should get that out to you right now, even though I won't get to that for about a month and a half, approximately. We'll see. And why did Jesus come? And some things like that. And of course, there will be carols on the show throughout the month of December. Because right after Thanksgiving, we're going to be rolling them out. There might be a couple of comedy ones that are parodies that might be brought out on here. There might be. I don't know. Because I know quite a few good ones, and I gotta pick out the ones that I think are the best ones. And we'll see as we get closer to December. So I thought I should just let you know that as those holidays come, you know, there will be holiday related, you know, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas. I didn't say holiday like as your replacement for Christmas. I meant related to whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas. And then Veterans Day will be in a couple weeks. I might take a couple minutes on that day and maybe talk about these veterans. By the way, so glad for what our military did a couple days ago. They took out the world's most wanted terrorists. The biggest threat, human threat, to our freedom and liberty. We took him out. And to that I say, God bless the United States of America. Usually I do not talk about politics or news and things of that nature on this program, but I just had to say, you know, congratulations to the United States military on just keep fighting, and prayerfully you're going to get back home alive and safe. Let me just check my clock. All right. Well, I'm going to sing you this song. It's called He Touched Me. Shackled by the heavy burden, everything is in you. If you remember, oh, He touched me. Oh, Jesus touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me, and and made me whole. He touched me. Yes, Jesus, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Yes, Lord, Master, Savior, Jesus, there is something about that name. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, there is something about that name. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do in our lives, Lord God. Thank you for this time and the word that we have, Jesus, this time that we have set aside in this program for you. Thank you, Lord God, for these listeners who have made the decision to tune in tonight, Lord God, to learn something about you, to learn something about your ways, how to walk with you, how to live for you. I thank you, Lord God, that you just bless them, Lord God, and I thank you that you remove every obstacle from them that would hinder them from receiving what you have for these listeners, these precious listeners this evening. And I rebuke the devourer off of their lives in the name of Jesus. And I confess over this program right now that sponsors are coming in to this program, increases in listenership are coming into this program. Finances are coming into this program, and most importantly, Jesus, souls, a huge harvest of souls is coming in to the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. And I'm going to 1 Kings 17. Yes, praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to please be a part of this program and whatever I do for the next little bit, you follow along. If I sing, you sing. If I pray, you pray. As I study the Bible, you study. If I raise my hands under the, if I just pause for a minute and raise my hands under the Lord, you follow along and do the same. Praise God. Just giving you a minute to find it. I am there. I'm in 1 Kings 17, NIV, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. Now Elijah, the Tishbite, from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirath ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kirath ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and they brought him bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in the place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water? Just a jar so that I can have a drink." For she was going to, as she was going to get it, he called, "Oh, and bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, so that we may eat it," and then some funny punctuation, "and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make me a small cake of bread for me." In other words, like, make me a pancake from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. And the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry. In keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah, sometime later, the son and the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally he stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What this you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also amongst this widow that I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Praise God." Woo! So, what we see first is there's this woman. I mean, Elijah basically tells, and God basically tells Elijah, "You know, for the next few years around here, there's not going to be any dew. There's not going to be any rain. I want you to go to Zarephath. I want you to go near the brook that's east of the Jordan. And I'm going to command the ravens to feed you. And I want you to drink from the brook. Eventually, when there is no rain, what happens in an area where there's no rain for a very long time? Everything gets dry. Everything gets dry. That brook ended up dry. Totally dry. And God said, "There's a certain widow. I want you to go to her house. You're going to stay with her. She's going to feed you. I've commanded her to feed you." And first she's like, "No, sir. I only have a jar of oil and some flour, enough to make a cake for me and my son." We'll say it's like a pancake. "I only have enough to make the pancake for me and my son." And this is back thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Do you think they had syrup? Oh, that's right. They didn't know what syrup was yet, did they? So they were going to eat pancakes with no syrup, no blueberries. Oh, by the way, forget about those chocolate chip pancakes. They didn't have them. Caitlin, do you think they had them?
No.
No chocolate chip pancakes. Sorry, kids. Nope. I don't know. Maybe like cinnamon roll pancakes. That sounds really good right now. Powdered sugar. Oh, maybe peanut butter chip pancakes. Yummy.
Chocolate chip sounds better.
Peanut butter chip. I like peanut butter better though. Peanut butter chip pancakes. Yummy. Sounds. That just sounds. That might be kind of yummy. Peanut butter chip pancakes with sausage in the middle. It'd be like a dessert version of chips and a pigs in a blanket. That might be kind of good, actually. Don't you think? You do?
Like
yes.
All right.
I think it would be really good, especially with like peanut butter chip pancakes or chocolate chip pancakes. Yeah.
Okay.
That would, yeah, you know, is yeah, because then you don't really need the syrup because you got all that, you know.
Yeah.
And because then you just got a breakfast right there, sweet and savory all in one. Sign me up. Well, in the days of the Bible, especially when you haven't had rain, you know, for all those years, you can kiss those dreams of having your pigs in a blanket and your chocolate chip or peanut butter chip pancakes goodbye. Very plain pancakes. But maybe it was like a wannabe pancake. They didn't have the Bisquick. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff. Needless to say, but Elijah basically told her, and by the way, the jar is not going to be used up, and the thing of bread, and then the jug of oil, and then that jar of flour is not going to be used up. You're going to have enough. They had enough. They ended up having enough. And the Bible doesn't tell us this, but maybe God did provide some chocolate chips or something like that that they had in the day. So every once in a while, maybe they could have dessert pancakes. And I don't know if they had eggs. Maybe sometimes they had some French toast. I don't think they had waffles, though, because you have to have certain special things for waffles. But I know some of you listeners, I may be making you hungry, but hey, but what I'm getting to is this. She ended up obeying the word of God. I mean, obeying the word of God, although at first she was like, you know, I don't know. I don't have enough. And then he's like telling her, you know, there's going to be enough. There's going to be enough. God's going to make sure that there's enough. And she was telling him, you know, we're going to eat this food and then we're going to die. Well, they didn't die that day. And then, you know, sometime later, the man of God is up in his quarters upstairs, and this mom and this kid, her son, becomes sick. He basically stops breathing. She says, "Do something with my son." Elijah takes him upstairs, and he basically, sits on him basically like three different times, and then Elijah, tells the Lord, "Oh God, please bring life back into this boy," and then, before you know it, Elijah, this kid, he's back to breathing normal again. And then she goes downstairs. He goes downstairs, puts that kid in his mom's arms. The kid's as happy as he can be. At that point, I don't know how old he is, but I imagine he's, you know, he's you know, laughing, maybe bouncing around. I don't know. Maybe he's playing with his Jack in the Box. I don't know. But they didn't have a Jack in the Box yet. But maybe something else. But that was the Lord doing a healing in that boy's life. And that miracle that happened for Elijah, those were miracles of provision. Jehovah Jireh, folks, is my provider. And he always makes a way. Always makes a way where there seems to be no way. You may think, I don't know if you have, I don't know if I'll have enough to get through the week. I don't know if I'll have, you know, if God's telling you something to do and you're not doing it, then it won't work for you. But if you're obedient to God and do what God tells you to do, so like he basically told this lady, you know, help him. You know, help him out, sustain him. And then she gave him a place to stay upstairs. And she, into the process of that, that's the way that boy was able to get healed. Obedience brings miracles. I'm convinced of that. Obedience to God can help bring forth miracles. It's a miracle that jar didn't run out. Because naturally, if I have a pancake mix, or some oatmeal, and I use it to make some breakfast, have you ever heard it called breakfast before? Have you ever heard that?
No.
Forget. It might be some TV show or something where it says breakfast instead of breakfast. I don't know what it is, but something like that. I think it's kind of funny. But you use it to make. You use it to you get up in the morning, or that pot of coffee. You use the stuff, you know, all the, eventually, it's all gone out, and you're going to have to get more of it. And back then, mind you, it was during a time of famine. Can't go to Walmart and go buy some flour. Or go buy some other stuff you might need, you know, to make pancakes or oatmeal or to make some other things for dinner or lunch or anything like that. There was none of that. There was no McDonald's either. So forget about that. God gave her a command, and she followed it. And God had provided those ravens, and what do you know? Morning and evening, those ravens provided that food that Elijah needed. Bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. I don't know what the meat was. He didn't say. Didn't say what kind of bread. And he was to drink from a brook. Was there any Coca-Cola in that brook? Was there any Coca-Cola in that brook, Caitlin?
What brook?
The brook. You know, in that brook back then. Do you think that brook that ended up drying up, do you think there was any Coke in it?
No.
Oh, I wish. Of course there wouldn't have been no Coke in it. It was all water. It was all water. It was all water. There was, there was all water. And then it dried up, and then he had to go and do, you know, he had to go where God told him to go. Because otherwise, you know, eventually he would have died because of lack of, you know, nourishment. But what I want to get to you listeners today is Jehovah God, Jehovah Jireh, is the provider, and he is a way maker. He always makes a way where there seems to be no way. She didn't know how she was going to have enough food to feed him and her son and herself. But you want to know what? She was able to do it. She was able to get, do it. And they had enough for a long time. He didn't say how long, though. Because of her obedience. Had she not obeyed, all three of them would have died. You know, the miracle is very much tied to obedience. Obedience to God. That's why when God says, do this, that doesn't mean, oh, it's optional. Do you want to? No. If you want everything he has, that means you need to do this. Not, do you want to? Because we can go, and parents will do this to their kids all the time. These kids will think, when their parents told them to do something, they can think, you know, oh, mom said, oh, do you want to? Okay, no, I don't want to. Then you don't have to do it. I don't have to be obedient. When the truth is really, she said, no, clean your room. That it's not, do you want to clean your room? It's go do it or there will be consequences, and some of them you ain't gonna like. Like I was saying, it's really important that we just, that we always obey God when he gives us instructions. And sometimes you may wonder, you know, how, what's going to happen? Is God going to come through? And then she ends up admitting that there is a God. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for this time that we had to study your word. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are, that you are the miracle worker, you're the provider, and you are the one who sustains us. Gives us strength when we need it, Lord God. We just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now for sports. In terms of the World Series, Astros have a 3-2 lead. When I was with you last, they had been down 1-0. Then they ended up losing on Wednesday. They were down 2-0. Since that time, Houston won 3 straight games in Washington. This is the first time since 1996 that to date that won a World Series went 5 games or more, that the road team won all of the games. Now, Game 6 is tomorrow. If Houston wins tomorrow, that means they are the world champion, and it also means that the home team won a game. If not, meaning if Washington wins, then he goes back to D.C. Then we'll have to see what happens. The scheduled pitcher for tomorrow is Verlander. And Verlander, for whatever reason, has not done the greatest in this playoff time. In this year's playoffs. Just for whatever reason, he hasn't done so good in the playoffs this year. And to be honest with you, I don't know the true reasoning behind it. But Cole did a good job yesterday. So World Series tomorrow night on ESPN 100.9 FM. Pistons, well, right now they can't seem to win a ball game. 0-2. Lost again, this time to the 76ers on Saturday in Detroit. At Little Caesars Arena, that is supposed to be hostile for opponents. Supposed to be. We'll try again. Either tonight, either tomorrow night, or Wednesday. Now, let me just check my clock here. It is. Oh, one more thing real quick. Red Wings, they another loss. 7 straight losses. After they started looking promising. The start of the year, they were winning these games. Now, they can't score goals. They can't win ball games. I don't know what on earth is going on there. Mind you, Steve Yzerman said it's going to take time to get Detroit, to get the Red Wings up to where they need to be. And obviously, when you're trying to rebuild, rebuilding doesn't always take 5 minutes. Sometimes you can get it done quicker than other times. It all depends finances and other things. But I'll be trying again soon. Now, that's right. It is football time here on the Miracle Man Show, bringing you Football Central, of course, brought to you by DQ Fall Blizzards. That include the Pumpkin Pie Blizzard, and then for October they have something called the Harvest Pie Blizzard. I don't know what flavor that is, but sounds yummy in the tummy. All right. Now, first off, we're going to start off with that Brooklyn High Dow High game. Well, Friday night in Midland, you know, week 9 in the high school football season in Midland, it's, you know, everybody's anticipating that Midland Dow game. By the way, oh yeah, this year's the 50th year. Midland's looking to go undefeated. Dow somehow managed to beat Mount Pleasant after being down 6-0, and they were able to win 12-13. So Dow's 5-3. Midland's 8-0. Should be a good, great game. Both teams should be great, you know, and just ready to go. You know, for the first little while, yes. But for the rest of it, well, for Midland gets the ball first, and they're working their way down the field. And the quarterback, you know, thinks he gets into yards, but then he gets sacked. And then one of Dow's defenders, I mean Dow's quarterback, throws an interception. Now, when a quarterback throws a pass and it gets caught by the other team, I call those, instead of calling them interceptions, I call them gifts. Believe it or not, Al Money threw 3 gifts to opponent to the Dow defenders. Luckily, none of them were returned for touchdowns. Thank goodness, because when they get returned for touchdowns, that is not cool. But Midland. And then, plus Midland, you know, struggled with the penalties all night long. You know, and some of them were the big penalties, personal foul penalties, holding penalties, a roughing the passer, a couple false starts. As for preparedness, Dow's coach said, we had been preparing for this Midland Dow game ever since last year when we lost to Midland in the 14-8 game. Because at that point last year, Dow had thrown for a pass. Dow's quarterback, Shane Astrike at the time, had thrown for a pass that was intercepted at the goal line by Eli Gordon, who was at the time a sophomore. And he made a play that saved our playoff hopes back in 2018. So after that, Dow went straight to work to see what they needed to do. You know, how can we beat Midland? How can we get this right? How, you know, what went wrong? And then because they knew, you know, Midland, you know, with the way that quarterback is and stuff, you know, there's a lot of things they can do. They can run the ball. They can run the wing T sometimes. There's a lot of different things they can do. But Dow figured it out, defended nicely everything Midland tried to do. As a result, Midland falls 42-7. Is now 8-1. They are still heading to the playoffs, as is Dow. By the way, I wish to congratulate all teams who made the MHSAA playoffs, including from this area, Bullet Creek, for the first time since 2007, and Samford Meridian, who made the playoffs for the first time since 2015. Clarkston, you, any of you that are wondering, they did not make the playoffs. They went 3-6. Including a loss to Detroit Cass Tech, who was 4-4, needed a win to get into the playoffs. They got that win over Clarkston. And I want to say it's like their 11th time or 12th time in the playoffs, Detroit Cass Tech. But anyways, like I was saying, congrats to the technicians. Midland's coach basically told the Chemex players, you know, you boys need to take an inventory of yourselves and see what happened here. You kids need to do some soul searching and just find out. Have you ever noticed? You've heard of coaches saying that before, Caitlin, haven't you? That you kids need to do some soul searching.
Yes.
More often than not. In high school, what happens as a result once they say that? Usually they end up winning their next game or couple and winning handily. Have you noticed that too?
I'm not that observant, so I probably haven't really noticed it.
But you would say much of the time that's what happens.
Probably, yeah.
I would say more often than not. Wouldn't you? Certainly more often than not. Because saying they got to do soul searching, that's being pretty blunt, isn't it?
Yeah.
So and when you hear a coach say that really gives me hope that Midland can beat their next opponent, who, by the way, is Muskegon Mona Shores. That's right. I was shocked when I saw that when I saw it, even though Mapatology predicted it, I was shocked when I saw it that Midland had to play Mona Shores in the first round of the playoffs, after we lost to them last year in the semifinals. The good news is, though, that it's at home, and we shouldn't have rain. And I really hope that Midland Dow video gets put up because of when I got there. Because of how those fields echo, it made it so that it was made a lot easier to hear Dow's band than Midland's band because I was quite a ways from it. And you know how sound echoes across the field, doesn't it? It always does. So next time, that's what I'm saying. I hope the YouTube video comes out because then you can hear how it actually sounded, you know, from the press box and stuff. And so, like I said, for us, there's at least one more home game. Dow, Midland is 8-1. Mona Shore is 7-2. Our playoff point count right now is 82. No, ours is 93.9, almost 94. Muskegon's is 82. Marshall's it is. When I get home tonight, I'm going to look and see about their, like, the size of their player. I know their quarterback is back from last year, Mr. Forsma. But as for the rest of their players, I do not know. But I will find out, because I'm really hoping that Midland can find a way to stop their dreams. By the way, Mona Shores did lose to Muskegon 55-0. And if you lose 55-0, a lot of times that means you're not very prone to make a big long playoff run, huh?
Oh, no.
Which to me, in a way, kind of gives me hope for maybe one more playoff game. Because after all those rainouts, you can tell I'm basically praying for it, can't you?
Yeah.
And one of them, maybe Friday. I might show up early so I can go sit in, like, section 3, second row from the bottom, because then you're almost right next to best part of the band. You know what I mean?
Is that this Friday?
Yep.
Oh.
Because section 3 used to be all reserved, now it's not. Plus, that way, then right past that is, like, where all the kids are, and so I'm just hoping that because Dow's got to take care of business in order for Midland to get another home game, because they got to go to Traverse City and take on a team that has not lost since week one. But being Dow took out Midland, that means they could take out anybody. So in a way, I'm kind of feeling hopeful. Last night, I was feeling, for a few minutes there, I wasn't too happy when I saw those pairings. Because I was hoping it would be, you know, Fenton, Flushing, you know, Midland and Dow. But then I saw it and I was like, this is going to be tough. Because I know we're going to get one more home game, but I want us to win so we can possibly get another one. And hopefully Dow can win so we can have another shot at them. But then regionals, two more home games is probably the most we're going to get. And I wanted three more because there was two games that the band didn't get to be at all because it rained. And then there was another one that they only got to make it through three quarters. So I'm saying hopefully just two at least to make up when they couldn't be there. You know what I mean? Because a lot of years I'm not as picky. I just want them to win. But other years I'm like, the more wins, the better. Do you know what I mean? Kind of depends on the weather and that. And cold's fine. I just don't like it when it's really raining, because then that means, that certain people don't get to be out there. And so, good luck to all of these teams in the playoffs. And regardless of who wins, you know, the greatest winners are those who show good sportsmanship. And I know sometimes when I was at school, back when I was at school, I was like, why am I always hearing all these sportsmanship commercials? Can't they talk about something else? That's what I was always thinking. And stuff like that. And then I realized that there was a reason for all of it. You want to show them the right way, not to cheat. And there's certain skills that you can learn out there on that football field that you won't learn in the classroom. More than likely you won't. That's why they would say, you know, just because academics should be first, that doesn't mean that these sports aren't important for these kids who try to, who choose to play them. There's a lot of skills that can be learned from them that you might otherwise not learn to the same degree, like teamwork and stuff like that. And team doesn't have an I in it. Like, I want to play my Xbox. Well, I'd be like, well, you missed a practice, you know? Because what if the quarterback missed all his practices because he wanted to go home and play his Xbox? So that'd be bad, wouldn't it? But then, so, like I said, good luck to every team who is taking part in the playoffs. College, Michigan, taking on Notre Dame. And I was feeling good about Michigan, but I didn't think Michigan was going to totally annihilate the Fighting Irish and beat them 45-14. I figured it was going to be like 31-28, something like that. But Michigan basically put on a clinic. It was, and I was proud of Shea Patterson for running the football a lot more, especially in that weather. It was raining a lot in Ann Arbor on Saturday. It was raining quite a bit in Detroit where I was too, you know, up in the Clarkston area. They said it was going to rain even more to the south, so down near like city of Detroit and Ann Arbor, I'm sure, was raining a lot harder. But Michigan did a great job, their defense, great job. I heard sack time several times coming from Jim Brandstanner, and I love that he says it. You know, Notre Dame was ranked in the top 10. And you want to know what I've noticed since Harbaugh took over? They do just fine playing good opponents, playing these highly ranked opponents, as long as it's in Michigan Stadium. Other than a certain team down to the south that right now we can't seem to beat for the life of us. They haven't gotten them since 2011. You know, but we got to, but I feel like over time that I've seen improvement in the offensive line. They're starting to gel. And I'm hearing people screaming on Facebook, in Michigan Facebook group, yelling about how Wisconsin has now lost 2 in a row. So, and they're like, and these people are yelling, why did we lose to Wisconsin? Well, we weren't where we are now, for one thing. And two, maybe Wisconsin is being found out as they didn't lose closely to that school to the south of us. No, they got blown out 34-7. So it is very important that Michigan take the game against Maryland this coming Saturday seriously. And then their next game, and then their next game. I mean, on November 2nd, November 9th, November 16th, when they have a bye, I believe, and then they play on the 30th, they play that team to the south. That's why those next few games, they need to take them seriously. No blow-off game. And Michigan State, they, Another day, another dollar. Blown out this time by Penn State. 28-7. I don't know what on earth is going on in East Lansing. Whew. Can't beat the team to the south. Can't beat Wisconsin. Can't beat Penn State. Can you at least get some other quality wins, please? And at least play Michigan with some heart. Please. I don't think it's asking too much for them to, just step it up and do what they got to do so they can win these ball games. And it's kind of funny, but that there's two Luhukies, but to a degree there kind of has been two Luhukies at Michigan State. The one 2 years ago was great. They did much better than what they had the year prior. Last year they kind of struggled for a bit, but then now it's just kind of, what's going on? You got shut out by the Cheeseheads, blown out against the team to the south, and then you got it handed to you again by Pencil State. And you got lucky to beat Indiana. You did have a couple of really good wins at the start of the season, but still. True champions find ways to win the toughest games, not just the easy ones. These spoon-fed gimme games. They find a way to play good in all their games. Even the ones where they don't win. And they come up a little short. You know, I've seen games before, maybe you have, where I'm watching a game and my team loses 49-21. But, for example, I was at a game like this. We lost 49-21, but we still outgained them in total yards by like 50 yards, 60 yards. Have you ever heard of that happening before? Where you lose by a lot of points, but you still outgain them yard-wise at least in time of ball and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can just be because of those, you can turn them into points, or they block you from the end zone. Sometimes that can be it, too. Because if you lose by a lot, but you outgain them yard-wise, and you have the ball for longer, that still means you tried. It's just maybe you couldn't get it into the end zone. Maybe you couldn't, finish it. Because, when you get that ball inside the 20-yard line, you got to execute and get it in there, score a touchdown. And that leads me to the Lions. The Lions were looking really good yesterday. By the way, they won, thank goodness, 31-26. They were letting that game get too close at the end. They had the Giants feeling really good about themselves. The Giants scored a touchdown. They were up by 12 points, but the Lions defense let that lead get to it within five. Generally, their offense played a good game. Stafford did a good job. They did okay at running the ball when they needed to. But the defense had chances, but they didn't even do the always they didn't always do the greatest job at defending and allowed the offense of the Giants to execute a bit more than they should have. So what this does for the Lions now is this makes them 3-3-1. Yeah, 3-3-1. I'm just doing some math in my head to make sure because we have that tie. And I'm not used to that. This is the first year me following the Lions since 2002 that we actually had a game end and a tie. Because I'm only used to having two numbers. Two columns. You know, not the three. So, 3-3-1. Minnesota has continued to win, so they are ahead of us, as is Green Bay and the Bears are close. Bengals winless. Colts are having a pretty decent season. The Patriots, they are just unbeatable. Nobody can seem to beat him. And I gotta say, Brady's a beast out there on that field. For being over 40 and still throwing the ball the way he is. Woo! Woo! Whoa. Yeah. And they can trade people all they want, and they still keep finding ways to win ball games. They just keep finding ways. And we got a Monday night football game coming up here in a little bit that I'm going to listen to once I get home. And so yeah, so how did we do on picks? Oh, yeah, I picked that Bears-Eagles game, which the Eagles won. And I thought the Bears were going to win. So, how did we do on picks? I picked Midland to beat Dow. Michigan to beat Notre Dame. Ye-ding-dong. I picked State to lose. Sadly, I got that one right. I picked the Lions to win. Ding dong. Bears beating the Eagles. Out of five games picked, three correct. Still over 50%, and that's good. Anytime you can get over 50%, that's good. That's a B. Because we're talking about predictions in my book, 60 or better is a B. Does that make sense? We're talking about predictions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with predictions, I think 80 is an A. Does that make sense?
80 is an A?
Yeah, when it comes to predicting stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that case, unlike in regular academics where 80 is a B, you know, 60 is basically a borderline F. But in my mind, though, when you get to 50, though, or 55, though, once you get under 60, you slide pretty quick towards F. I would say under 40, there you're F. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. So like I said, we were at 60%. Last week we were at 80, 67%, because we had the Midland Dolls. That meant there was one last game. Until next time. God first, God always. So long, everybody.